Welcome to our deep dive, you know, into the future of fashion.
Right.
In a post-global world,
Sounds interesting.
we're going to be looking at a discussion guide that explores, you know, potential future scenarios for fashion.
Okay.
And also a Bloomberg article about Shein's difficulties in launching an IPO in London.
I think these sources provide a really interesting contrast because we see these real-world challenges, you know, that a fast fashion giant is facing
Right.
in that Bloomberg article. But then the discussion guide kind of takes this broader perspective on how the whole industry might transform.
Yeah, and so in the Bloomberg piece, it talks about how initially Shein was shooting for this $100 billion valuation for their IPO.
$100 billion.
And now investors are pushing for more like a $30 billion valuation.
Wow, that's a huge difference.
What is driving that change?
I think that investors are becoming, you know, increasingly wary of the, you know, the sustainability issues and the ethical issues that are associated with fast fashion.
Right.
And then also, you know, there's all these geopolitical tensions and potential changes in trade policies, particularly, you know, between China and the U.S.
Yeah, the Bloomberg article mentions the possibility of the U.S. imposing a 30% tariff on goods from Shein.
Right.
Which would have a pretty significant impact on their business model.
Definitely.
Which relies so heavily on, you know, offering those really low prices.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good illustration of how, you know, political decisions can just have these ripple effects throughout global industries. And I think the discussion guide really goes deeper into these potential disruptions by outlining four possible scenarios for the future of fashion.
The first scenario they call business as usual.
Okay.
Which suggests that Shein might adapt by shifting some production closer to Western markets.
Okay.
But still maintaining its high-speed, low-cost model.
Got it.
What are the potential implications of that?
Well, I mean, even with those kinds of adjustments, you know, Shein would still be facing some pretty substantial risks.
Yeah.
I mean, if there is continued geopolitical instability, you know, that could further restrict, you know, their access to offshore manufacturing, and also consumer demand for sustainability, you know, may just continue to rise.
Right. So even with adaptation, they still might struggle to satisfy both investors and consumers.
Exactly.
The next scenario they call collapse, which is a much more dramatic outcome.
Oh, yeah.
What does that look like?
So in this scenario, basically all these pressures, you know, mounting regulations, consumer backlash, and supply chain disruptions all kind of come together and lead to the downfall of fast fashion as we know it.
Wow.
And the economic consequences could be pretty severe. You know, you could see widespread closures of those offshore production facilities.
Right. And then what would the impact on consumer behavior be in a scenario like that?
Well, the discussion guide suggests that, you know, we'd see a pretty big shift towards, you know, resale, repair culture, and circular economy models.
Okay.
So basically, consumers would be forced to reconsider their clothing consumption habits.
Okay.
You know, moving away from those disposable trends and embracing more sustainable practices.
So that scenario would really necessitate a very significant shift
for sure
in mindset, both for the consumers and the brands.
Absolutely.
Now, the transformation scenario is much more optimistic.
Okay.
And that's talking about this hybrid consumer-producer economy.
Interesting.
So tell me about that.
So in this scenario, the idea is that you'd have AI-powered micromanufacturing, which would enable localized and customizable fashion production.
Yeah.
So you can imagine consumers actually co-creating clothing, you know, tailored to their own measurements and preferences using AI assistance.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, and it addresses those sustainability concerns by reducing overproduction and waste.
Yeah.
Because you're only making what people actually want.
So how does the role of the consumer change in that model?
Well, they go from being these passive shoppers to becoming active co-creators and makers.
Right.
So they gain much greater control over, you know, the design and the production process.
So it's really giving the power back to the consumer.
Absolutely.
And how would brands need to prepare for such a transformation?
I think they would need to really invest in things like, you know, AI-generated custom fit designs, on-demand local production, and decentralized maker ecosystems, you know, their business models would have to adapt to embrace this new approach to creating and consuming fashion.
And this really represents such a dramatic departure.
A huge
from the current mass production model.
Yeah.
But it does seem to hold promise for both sustainability and personalization.
It does.
Now, the final scenario is called discipline. And this one talks about a future with increased regulation.
Okay.
So can you explain that one a bit further?
Yeah. So in this scenario, governments really take a much more active role in shaping the fashion industry. So you could see them imposing, you know, strict quotas on imported fast fashion.
Right.
Promoting, you know, regional textile economies. traditional craftsmanship. And ethical production, you know, would become legally mandated.
Right.
So you'd see much less greenwashing.
So it's a move towards localized and ethical production with an emphasis on quality and longevity.
Exactly.
Over, you know, cheap and disposable trends.
Right.
How would consumer behavior be affected in this scenario?
Well, the idea is that ownership becomes less emphasized.
Okay.
So renting, swapping, and pay-per-use models become the norm.
Okay.
So consumers move away from accumulating these large wardrobes.
Right.
And prioritize access to diverse styles and experiences.
So each of these scenarios is presenting such a distinct vision for the future of fashion.
It is.
And raising its own set of, you know, questions and challenges.
Definitely.
I mean, that Bloomberg article about Shein's struggles.
Right.
Really underscores, I think, some of these significant forces at play in the fashion industry.
It does. It highlights, you know, the urgent need for the industry to really address these issues.
Right.
Sustainability ethics, the impact of globalization.
Right.
You know, the decisions that are made today are going to have, you know, far-reaching consequences.
And so these scenarios give us a glimpse into what some of those ramifications could be.
Yeah, they encourage us to really think critically about the future. You know, what kind of future do we want to create for the fashion industry? And, you know, what role do each of us want to play in shaping that future?
The discussion guide also outlines
some
strategies for both fashion brands and consumers to kind of navigate these potential futures.
Okay.
And one of the areas they talk about is rethinking manufacturing.
Interesting.
So what kinds of changes are they proposing there?
Well, one of the ideas they mention is hyperlocal factories.
Okay.
So, you know, imagine these AI-driven micro-manufacturing hubs that operate on demand, minimizing overproduction and waste.
So instead of these large-scale factories that are just, you know, mass-producing clothing, you would see these smaller localized facilities producing garments as needed.
Exactly. It's a shift towards a more agile and responsive manufacturing model.
Yeah, much more in line with like the just-in-time manufacturing models that we've seen in other industries. And then they also propose this idea of decentralized production networks.
Okay.
So what are decentralized production networks?
So in this model, you know, brands would use distributed digital fabrication systems.
Okay.
And it reduces their reliance on these large offshore facilities.
Right. So it's diversifying production, potentially making those supply chains a little bit more resilient.
Exactly.
To disruptions.
Right.
And then they also talk about these digital physical hybrids.
Oh, that's interesting.
So what are those?
So think about things like, you know, augmented reality fitting rooms.
Okay.
And AI-generated digital fashion.
Interesting.
So these technologies can help to minimize returns and reduce waste by allowing consumers to, you know, virtually try on clothes.
Right.
And see how they would look on their bodies.
So it kind of bridges that gap between the digital world and the physical world.
Exactly. And it has the potential to make the whole shopping experience, you know, more efficient and more sustainable.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Yeah, it's a cool example of how technology can address some of these challenges in the fashion industry.
Yeah.
It's not all bad.
Exactly.
You know, technology can be a force for good.
Now, another area the guy explores is this idea of empowering consumers as makers.
Okay.
What does that entail?
So in this section, they really highlight, you know, the potential for consumers to become much more involved in designing and creating their own clothes.
So how would that work?
Well, they mention things like, you know, AI-assisted design platforms where consumers could co-create made-to-measure garments.
Okay.
So you can imagine customizing, you know, the fabric, the fit with the end of AI.
Yeah, so it really is personalizing that experience.
Absolutely.
And it's moving, I guess, more towards a participatory approach to fashion.
Right. It's moving away from just constantly buying new things.
Right.
To a more mindful and sustainable approach to clothing.
Right.
You know, where you're thinking about, you know, what you actually want,
right,
what you need, and how long you're going to keep those garments.
And these ideas, I think, are really thought-provoking.
Yeah. I mean, it is exciting to imagine a future where consumers have, you know, more agency and control over their wardrobes.
And then the guide also touches on the role of policy and ethics in shaping the future of fashion.
Right.
But what are some of the key takeaways from that section?
Well, they stress the need for stronger regulations surrounding things like labor practices and sustainability claims.
Right.
So fashion brands, you know, need to be prepared for tighter controls on their supply chains and be ready to back up their sustainability claims with, you know, concrete evidence.
Okay.
And then they also mentioned the potential for governments to incentivize circular economies.
Right.
So, you know, maybe we'll see things like recycled material quotas.
Yeah.
Or taxes on fast fashion excess.
So really using policy to kind of help encourage more sustainable practices. and discourage wasteful consumption.
It's about acknowledging that governments have a role to play in creating a more responsible and sustainable fashion industry.
Yeah.
It can't just be left up to individual brands or consumers.
And the guide concludes by emphasizing that fashion is at this really critical turning point.
It is.
You know, where we have to reconcile things like mass consumption,
yeah,
labor practices, and environmental costs with new technologies and shifting consumer values.
Right, and that's a really powerful statement that captures the complexity of the challenges facing the industry.
And it highlights the need, I think, for strategic foresight to navigate these challenges and create a more ethical, localized, and participatory future for fashion.
Absolutely, and strategic foresight is really about, you know, allowing brands to not just react to crises, but to proactively shape a future that aligns with their values and the needs of their consumers.
So thinking long term.
Exactly.
And considering that broader impact of their decisions.
It's about moving beyond short-term profits and embracing a more holistic and sustainable approach to business.
I think this deep dive has been incredibly insightful.
Yeah, me too.
And it's clear that the future of fashion is far from certain.
Yeah, there's no crystal ball.
But it does seem like there's a lot of potential for positive change.
I agree. The industry is ripe for disruption.
Yeah.
And it's up to all of us, you know, brands, consumers, policymakers, to work together to create a more responsible and sustainable future for fashion.
So the sources that we've explored today have given us a lot to think about.
Definitely.
And I think they've painted a really vivid picture of the potential challenges and opportunities that lie ahead.
They have, and I think that they've left me feeling both hopeful and inspired.
Me too.
You know, it's clear that the future of fashion is not predetermined. It's something that we can all play a role in shaping.
And that's a very powerful realization, I think.
It is. It empowers us to make more conscious choices, to demand better from the brands that we support, and to advocate for policies that promote sustainability and ethical practices.
And I think this deep dive has been a valuable reminder that we're not just passive consumers.
Right.
We're active participants in shaping the future of the fashion industry.
And that's a responsibility that we should all take seriously.
So it's been a pleasure exploring these ideas with you.
The pleasure was all mine.
And to our listeners, we hope that this deep dive has left you with a newfound understanding of the forces that are shaping the future of fashion.
Yes, and we encourage you to continue exploring these issues, to stay informed, and to engage in conversations about how we can create a more ethical and sustainable fashion industry.
Thank you for joining us.